OWC Radio, episode number 32, Meet Maddie. Hey everyone, Tim Robertson here, OWC Radio number 32. Thanks for downloading this episode. I really do appreciate it. I've got a fun conversation with Maddie Moe, Matt, later in this episode. He's a YouTube tech guy. He's just kind of really started it just recently, and I was watching his stuff. I found him on Twitter. He followed us on Twitter at the @MacSales Twitter account. I followed that link over to his YouTube page and ended up watching like 8 or 10 videos. And I thought, this guy's pretty good at this. I'm enjoying this. And I think he'd be a fun guest to get on OWC Radio. And I was absolutely right. I had a fun conversation with him. I think you guys are going to really dig some of the 3 random questions that I asked. They're out there this time. But that's kind of always the case, isn't it? That's what I like about the 3 random questions that I ask the guests here on OWC Radio, because you never know where that aspect of the conversation is going to go. Now, before we get to that, though, I do want to talk about a couple things. I know that I talked about the Apple Car some with Steve Sandy last week, and there's still just a ton of news and rumors. In fact, it seems to be getting louder since Steve and I talked. And I'm just so torn and confused about it. I honestly can't see Apple making a car. But there sure seems to be a lot of noise on the subject, to the point where it's almost hard to ignore. You know, when you see a lot of smoke, there's usually a fire there. And there seems to be a lot of smoke when it comes to this whole Apple Car thing. But I don't know, an Apple-branded car. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be an Apple-branded car, does it? Couldn't it be, I don't know, something else, and Apple just owns that subsidiary? I mean, they do that with Beats Music now, don't they? Heck, they do that with FileMaker. A lot of people listening to this show have used FileMaker. That's owned by Apple. It's been owned by Apple as far back as I can remember, 20 years or more? I'm not sure. But Apple owns FileMaker. But yet it doesn't say Apple anywhere on FileMaker's page that I'm aware of, or even when you launch the program, because I'm kind of a big, well, not big anymore, but I really, I like FileMaker. I've used it for years. I actually made money as a FileMaker developer 15 years ago. I couldn't do it anymore. I'm just so out of practice, and there's so many new features in the new versions that I'm just way out of date with FileMaker. But Apple owns FileMaker, and they don't advertise that fact. They own Beats, but they don't really advertise that fact either. We all know that because it was a recent purchase. But still, it's Beats is kind of its own thing. So if Apple does make cars, I don't know. Do you think it would be under the Apple brand? I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that Apple would want to get into that business. There's so many government regulations in every country when it comes to cars. The manufacturing, they would have to set that up from scratch unless they bought another car manufacturer. Would they do it more like they do the iPhones and iPads and assemble and make them in China and then ship them over here? Or would they actually set up American manufacturing to make cars? So many questions. And I don't have any answers. Every question I come up with leads to more questions about the Apple Car. But I'd love to hear what you think of this rumor and the possibility of Apple making a car. Yay, nay, is this something that's just too far-fetched? Do you think that this is something that Apple really are interested in? Do you think that this is all smoke and mirrors, and it's really about features that Apple wants to bring to the automotive industry? Love to hear from you. OWCRadio@MacSales.com is the easiest way to get a hold of us. And I'll answer your questions and read your comments right here on the show. You could also go to blog.MacSales.com and leave a message right in the show notes and discuss it there. I am really curious on what you guys think. It's just, I'm conflicted about it. I really, really am. What I'm not conflicted about is the fact that OWC sells used Macs. Huge market out there for people not needing to spend that much money on a Mac. Let's say you have already got your Mac, but your 12-year-old needs a Mac. You want to put something in their bedroom. But you don't want to spend $1,500 on a brand new Mac. And they don't need something super powerful. They just need something that they could maybe get into Google Docs like my kids, because that's where a lot of their homework is now, is in Google Docs. They just need a computer to access the internet, get into Google Docs, do their homework, save it to Google Docs so it will be at the school when they get there the next day, check their school email, check the calendar of events, stuff like that. So if you need a Mac for, you know, not a lot of money, and it doesn't need to be the latest and greatest, we have some quality used Macs. And by the way, we have some very powerful ones too, such as a Mac Pro starting at $649. Well, that's an amazing deal. But we also have very inexpensive used Macs. We've got a Mac Mini. It's a 1.83 gigahertz Core 2 Duo. So it's not the latest and greatest. It's not super fast. But if you've got a monitor that you're not using, you can connect it to this Mac Mini. And this Mac Mini is only $199. Is that too much? Want something that's more all-in-one? How about a 149 iMac? We got an iMac for $149. This is not a Bondi Blue iMac, by the way. Okay? You don't want that. We've got some great deals. MacBook Air starting at $519. A more powerful Mac Mini with an SSD already installed, a 240 gig SSD. That's going to be a fast machine. $475. So if you're in the market for a used Mac, think MacSales.com. So with that, I want to remind you that Rich from OWC and myself will be at the 2015 McCull Conference this March 19th and 20th as an exhibitor. If you want to get your hands on some OWC products, try them out before you buy, and you're an educator and you're in the Michigan area, maybe you're in the Toledo area, somewhere within driving distance. It's going to be in Detroit. It's a great conference. I've been there a few times myself outside of OWC. And we're going to exhibit on the 19th and the 20th. So come to Cobo Arena, see the products. You can meet me in person. We can do a quick interview with you for OWC Radio right at the booth. I'll have my recording gear. But come out and see us. It's going to be a great conference. We're going to have some great products there. And I would love to meet you in person. If you want more information, I'll have a link in the show notes. And again, this is episode number 32 to the McCull Conference, but it's mcullconference.org. And McCull is M-A-C-U-L, conference.org. And again, March 19th through 20th. You can learn more about OWC, find out what's new, what's going on by following us on Twitter. It's at MacSales. On Facebook is facebook.com/OWCMacSales. And of course, I would love to get feedback from you guys. It makes my job so much easier when you guys send in questions or comments. It gives me something to talk about here on the show. It's OWCRadio@MacSales.com. Now it's time to switch over to Matty Moe. I hope you guys really like this conversation with Matt. He's a fun guy. I hope that you guys will go and follow the show notes over to his stuff and watch some of his videos. He's not a hardcore Mac or iPhone user, but he's technology in general. But look, we all use technology, not just Apple products. We use a lot of different technology in our lives. And I think it's important to find out what else is going on out there. And Maddie's got a cool YouTube channel that will help you do just that. Again, love to get your feedback on the Apple Car. Let me know your thoughts on that. I really do want to know. I will be back next week. We're going to be later next week because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I'll actually be in Las Vegas. So the earliest, the next episode will come out will be next Friday. And I apologize for that, but I can't really record an episode in Vegas for what I'm going to be doing. I might be able to. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to have the portable gear with me. But I may just wait till I get back home. I arrive back home late Wednesday. So Thursday I can record at OWC Radio, which means it will go live next Friday. And if you guys could send an email to help me have content for the next show, since I'm going to be on the road, it's going to be hard to prepare for the next show. I'd appreciate it. And I will talk to you guys then. And as I mentioned at the first half of the show, I do have a special guest, as I like to do here on OWC Radio, and his name is Matt Moniz. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I got the last name correct?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, see, who knows what I did in the first segment, because I haven't actually recorded that segment yet. For those listening, I record my conversations / interviews first, and then I go back and do the first half of the show. That way, if someone can't show up, you know, technical problems, the internet goes down, whatever happens to be, and I still have to release a show, I'm not hyping a guest who's not actually on that episode. And I was so worried about getting your last name wrong. It's one of the things that I do quite often, Matt.
Well, don't worry. You got it right this time.
Only because I asked you like four times. So,
four times the charm.
That's right. So Matt, or Matty Mo, as he calls himself on his videos, is kind of an up-and-coming reviewer and how-to guy. He's got a really, I think, a great YouTube channel. He's got his own website. Looks like you're kind of new at this, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, prior to this, I was actually I had a blog for about a good year or so, or 6 months to a year, and there was just always something about doing YouTube on the back of my mind that I decided to venture into it, just because I'd rather have a conversation and present something than type it out on the screen and then hope someone that reads it, you know?
Well, I think it's, for me, it works for you because you've got the type of personality on video. Like, right. See, I've got a great face for radio.
Right.
You've got a great voice and a look that works really well on video. You come across as very honest and knowledgeable and eager. And all right. of those things go, I think, really well to making a successful YouTube channel, especially one with, you know, I'd like the tagline, quality tech reviews and how-tos made simple. And I think that's a huge market. More and more people every day are buying more and more, or at least considering buying more and more tech gear. Where do they turn to find out, hey, what should I be paying for? What's worth my money? What should I avoid? And I like your stuff because you're really delving into that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of these tech channels are like for the super hardcore nerd. There are some great ones out there that are more for your average consumer. But I try to give a little bit of everything so that anybody who comes to my channel that can find something that appeals to them. Also, just want to say one thing before we continue. This is my first podcast, so I am popping my cherry today.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you're here on OWC Radio. I found you on Twitter. And I followed that over to your YouTube channel, and I probably watched a good, 10, 11 of the videos so far. And there's awesome. A few that I want to go back and watch. But I would like to ask, how did you get into technology? What was it that kind of drew you in?
Well, this is the funny thing. Because you guys are a Mac channel predominantly, my first computer that I ever had in my life was a Macintosh SE. My father is a graphic designer, and any of the old computers that came from his office would come to the house. So obviously it was Mac at the time, and that's how it all started. And then my cousin, who was a big PC guy, taught me everything about PCs, how to build them, how to customize them. So that started from a young age. And then obviously as I got older, I went to school for it, to university to get my degree in business information technology, and I've just been addicted to it ever since. I mean, it's just more of a passion now, and I just love talking about it.
Do you like working with people, or do you like talking about it? Which one is kind of in your wheelhouse?
I like talking about it more, yeah. But I also like helping people out as well.
Yeah, you come across that way on the channel that, you know, if I had a question, you seem to be the type of person that could really kind of delve into it as deep as I wanted to go, but you could also make it simple so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like anyone that leaves a question or a comment on any of my videos, I always take the time to answer it to the best of my knowledge. Obviously, it's really easy to do right now since I don't have millions of subscribers. I'm sure that'll change as time goes on. But right now, yeah, but anybody has an issue or a problem, I always take the time to help them out, because I think it's important to not only help people out. I believe in karma, goes around, comes around. And on top of that, it's good to build a solid base of subscribers that, are all helpful to each other, because it goes a long way.
I've noticed on a lot of these kind of videos that people are talking to the camera, it stays on their face or, a mid shot the entire video for 10 minutes, and they're just talking about something and holding up this small phone or a case and you can barely see it. You don't do that. You actually cut to other video with a voiceover. So, and get really in depth with the product. You could either show like a commercial for an upcoming product. I noticed some of the stuff that you've shown for rumored phones. You've kind of showed the teaser images from Samsung. So the video quality as well as the editing, I think, is really setting you apart. How much of that time do you spend doing that? I mean, to me, it looks like quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're actually recording the video, it doesn't take too long. That's the easy part.
That's the easy part.
Yeah, that's the easy part. Recording it, you can get done pretty fast. But depending on the type of video I put out, the reviews take the longest because you're setting up different types of shots from different angles. And, you know, sometimes the shots don't work. You have to redo them again. But yeah, sometimes you can spend 6 to 10 hours editing in Premiere just to finish what you have to do. And like, even if you watch my first video, like, it's pretty bad, but as time goes on, you can see that with each video, it's slowly getting better and better.
What part of it do you like better? Do you like the editing process, or do you like hitting record and start talking directly to the camera?
I kind of like the editing process. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I like recording too. You know, everyone likes hearing their own voice, but but the editing process is a lot of fun. And, you know, I just like editing and seeing myself talk and be able to, you know, kind of sort it out so that my audience will be able to understand what I'm trying to say. You can really shape the way the video flows afterwards, after you've done talking to the camera. Because when you initially record, you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if that sounded great. But then as soon as you start editing, you start taking things away and simplifying it, it starts to really come together to make a better video.
Is there a sweet spot for you in length?
You know what? Some channels really focus on really long videos. There are some review channels that, you know, have up to 15 to 20 minutes, and there are a lot of people that like that. I try to keep it below 5 minutes, especially for things that are not reviews. Reviews end up tending to go between 7 and 9 usually. So I try to keep it around there because people, you know, don't want to sit there and watch a very, very long video most of the time, right? They just want to get the information they need to know, make their decision, and hopefully to them the actual video was entertaining enough for them to watch, right? So mm-hmm. I try to keep it below a certain period.
Well, what was exciting for me is you've never reviewed our stuff that I've seen on your channel at all, but we're kind of new to you and you're new to us. How do you go about picking the products that you want to review?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, everything I'm reviewing is from my pocket, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's kind of what do I need right now? What do I think people want to know about right now? So, you know, right now it's all about, you know, the Mobile World Congress is coming up in a week. So everybody's, you know, thinking about the HTC One M9. Everyone's thinking about the Samsung Galaxy S6. So I try to keep it relevant to what's going on now. But sometimes I'll take a great product that's like, let's say, a year old, and I'll bring it back and say, you know, is this worth it for you? Is it still okay to buy? You know, I'll kind of do like a past thing on it. But, you know, I just try to keep it to things that people want to see, you know. And then the odd time, if I have something that I think that's really, really cool, I'll bring it in as well.
It's going to be difficult as you progress with this, and it's 2 or 3 years from now, to buy all the stuff that you want to review. Do you have plans on starting to reach out to companies and setting up a PR page and a marketing page and all of those things that big time product reviewers kind of need to get the attention of some of these companies to send you a product for 30 days so you can test it?
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, you know, obviously, like you said, I agree, it's going to be hard to purchase all these things because, as you know, it can get quite expensive. Technology is not a cheap pastime, that's
not
for sure.
Not at all.
But I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to eventually start reaching out to companies. You know, I'm going to try to buy as much stuff as possible because I want to keep the reviews as genuine as possible. But I mean, you know, if companies want to reach out to me to lend me a product, that's totally fine as long as there's no rules saying you have to say this or have to say that, right? I want to keep it as honest as possible.
Well, yeah, holding on to your integrity is very important when it comes to product reviews. I mean, I've been doing them since 1995 when I started My Mac Magazine, continuing to today. So there has to be a brick wall between advertising, sponsorship, and your actual product reviews, because if they don't believe what you're saying, I don't care what you say, it's not really a product review, it's an advertisement at that point.
And yeah, I know. Sorry, go ahead.
You seem to be really on the consumer aspect. What's good for the potential buyer?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing too. Like, if there are sponsorships out there that want to review their products, it has to be a product that I believe in. Like, if the Dollar Shave Club or a shaving company comes to me, it's like, oh yeah, can you throw this on your thing? I'd be like, well, I have to try it first. And on top of that, I don't know if my viewers really care about shavers. I think they're more into, you know, certain types of tech. That's just a bad example. I'm not saying I wouldn't do that with them, but I'm just trying to think of a type of company that would bring that type of example across.
Now, you obviously do this part-time. This is what you do in your spare time. What do you do professionally?
So I do work for a media company, DHX Media. We are a media company. We own a lot of distribution rights to kids' television shows here in Canada. And I am an IT administrator there. So this is you know, still part of my passion. And I've been doing that for about 3-4 years now.
And you're not burned out with tech yet?
No, I've not yet. I don't know how I'm still going, but I've been, it's all about tech. So, I mean, it's hard. I'm surprised I haven't burned out, just to be honest.
Now, with your father being a graphic designer, is he still a graphic designer? Does he still work?
Yeah, he still works. I mean, he's not full-time anymore. He's like semi-full-time. He's kind of slowly trying to retire, but I don't think he ever will. But
some of us will never retire, even if we get to that age.
I agree. I mean, as soon as you stop, that's it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, especially when it comes to technology, I mean, it changes. And I talked about this on a couple podcasts ago, as well as last week with Steve Sandy. When you are in it, it's easier to keep on top of it rather than when you stop and then try to jump into it a couple years later. It's gone so fast and so far that you almost feel lost.
Yeah, totally. It's just like working out. It's the same sort of idea. Like, you go to the gym every single day, but if you stop working out for a few days, it's so hard to get back into it. It's the same sort of idea. And I totally agree with you. Like, you have to stay on top of it. But that's the thing about technology. It's just so exciting. And as new things come out, and the more things you learn about it, the more you just kind of want to stay into it, right? So
who got you into the technology? Was it your dad bringing those computers home?
You know what? It was actually my cousin.
Really?
He's a big tech head as well. And he introduced me to customizing PCs and, you know, doing it from building up yourself. He taught me everything. So it was kind of him who put the nail in the coffin to get into technology. So he's definitely my inspiration.
Or the one that's at fault, one of the two.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Depends how you look at it.
Yeah. So does he do anything like you do, or is he surprised how far you've taken it?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a system administrator. You know, he's done it just as long as I have. I mean, he's not really into the whole YouTube thing, but, you know, he enjoys the work environment, that corporate environment, solving problems and dealing with servers and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, he's enjoyed it for quite a long time.
Now, I do have for you later in this conversation my three random questions that I ask almost every guest. So, and I know you said you listened to the last episode, so you're kind of, you understand what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I definitely cheated. Right.
I just want to say, though, if you feel like this question is too personal, it's going to choke you up and you're going to start crying or anything, just let me know. I'll cut it out. No problem.
Okay, I'll get my tissues first.
We're going to get to the three random questions here in a little bit. What inspires you to make these videos? When you sit down trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to talk about next? Where's the inspiration come from?
Well, the inspiration comes from it just builds up on top of me. I guess, you know how you get excited about a new piece of technology, just want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's just that feeling of getting on camera and, you know, I mean, yeah, I can call somebody, but, you know, most of my friends are not really into technology. So it's not really exciting to talk to them about them, but why not just create a video about it and then everybody can listen to you, right? And then you can totally start a discussion. So it's just about being excited about it. I think it's the passion that gets me to do these videos.
What about the flip side, when you have a product that you've paid money for and you're like, this is a piece of crap. I can't believe that I bought this and I'm not happy with it. I'm going to explode them on YouTube. Has that happened yet?
I mean, even if I get the worst customer support and, you know, they hate me, I'll still go on YouTube. I will present the facts. And if there's anything that is bad about it, obviously I will say, but I will still try to, you know, bring out any positives about it as well, just to make it an honest review.
Well, I commend you on that, but sometimes there isn't anything positive to say.
Oh, no, I agree. If there's nothing positive about it, then obviously there's not going to be anything positive about it. Right. But if there obviously is, I'll try to shed some light on it.
What products get you the most excited? Is it mobile? Is it computers? I know that you've done a couple on headphones. Which is the one thing that you see, you're like, oh, I want to talk about that?
I would say mobile. I'd say mobile and desktop computers. Headphones, I'm not a big audiophile. I do like reviewing them, but I would definitely say, right now, today, it would be mobile phones. When it kind of dies down, it goes back and forth between desktop machines and mobile phones.
So. You're a big Android guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love Macs too, right? I mean, I don't use a Mac on a daily basis, but I do have an iPad that I use every single day. But yeah, my daily driver for a phone is Android, but every day I question myself. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to use an iPhone right now. So I think I'm going to start carrying two phones.
Well, I've always been a big believer in using the tools that work for you. I happen to be a Mac user, and of course, I'm way into iOS.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I don't like my Kindle. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love the PC I have. You know, it's an arcade machine, but I can do other things with it. I love my Fire TV. I like the Chromecast. There's a lot of things that, you know, Mac Specialist as a company, we support PCs as well. A lot of people think, well, you're a Mac company. Well, no, a hard drive's a hard drive, right? A RAID is a RAID. a USB this or a FireWire that. It works with Macs and PCs. So we've always been big into cross-platform and using the tools that work for you. And I'm kind of glad to hear that you're like that, because I think a lot of people kind of fall into one camp or the other, and then that's all they can see.
Yeah, no, they get really, really invested into their platform, and they become these like angry fans, and they just don't. I just don't like to look at it like that. I mean, I think any type of technology is great, regardless if it's Apple or Android. They all have their benefits. And the reason why I don't have a Mac is because I use a Mac at work, and so I kind of get the best of both worlds, right? Sure. So, I mean, it works out for me like that. So I can't. It's just the phone situation. It's like one day I want to carry an iPhone, the other day I want to carry an Android.
Have you gone to SSD in your computers yet?
Yeah, I definitely have an SSD on my computer right now.
Isn't it amazing the difference?
Oh, you can't go back. Once you get an SSD, you cannot go back. It's totally night and day.
I've got one computer, well, technically two computers left that doesn't have SSDs. One of them, I just don't need an SSD in there. That's the arcade machine. It would make zero difference. But the one machine that's still on a conventional hard drive is simply because of space. I need as much space as possible on that machine. But boy, sure, booting up from a non-SSD compared to an SSD computer, is just, there's no comparison, is there?
Oh, God, it's night and day. Like I said, like once you put an SSD in your computer, you can't go back. It's just so much more quicker. It boots up faster. It's a lot smoother. And it just makes using your computer a lot more enjoyable. And you really don't realize it until you actually make the switch. It's like one of the best upgrades you can do for any machine.
So what are the big apps that you use on Android?
You know what? I'm pretty simple. I don't have a lot of games on it. Obviously, I use Twitter, Facebook, all the general stuff, Instagram, anything related to YouTube. But I keep it pretty simple. That's why I can easily go between both operating systems, iOS and Android, because I'm not really invested into any specific app to that platform. So that's why I kind of get like, maybe one day I'll go iPhone.
Is your long-term plans to really grow your channel, or is it to get to the point where you're popular enough where another media company wants you to do something for them? Which one would you prefer?
It's hard to say. I mean, like, I would obviously like to grow my channel big enough that I can do it myself. But I mean, if there comes a point in time where you realize that maybe working with another company might be the option for you as well. So, I mean, it depends if I do this for 10 years and I still haven't grown enough, then, there might be a question on the back of my head saying, maybe I should partner with somebody or collaborate at this point.
Yeah.
Let's hope I'm not doing it for 10 years and only still have 1,000 subscribers.
Well, I was going to say, how long would you want to do something like this? Because again, media changes, technology changes. Do you see what you're doing right now on YouTube being viable 5 years from now? I personally do, but...
Yeah, no, I totally think it's viable 5 years from now. It's a long process, even for any person who gets 50,000 or 60,000 subscribers in a year or overnight. I mean, it's really hard to make it into a career on YouTube unless you have that really big viewership and subscriber base. But I mean, if there's another company out there that have the same beliefs as I do and that I find we could work together, then it's quite possible that it might be a viable option.
Do you think YouTube is coming to the end of their popularity run, or do you think that there's another step that they could take to really kind of push it over the edge?
I think it's started. I think right now it's starting to really break out. I think right now it's I think past 5 or 6 years, it's kind of building up. And I think right now it's really exploding. I think this is the time for YouTube.
I know a lot of people are saying, well, where's all the original YouTube content like Netflix is doing, like HBO's been doing for 40 years? Where Amazon is now really big into that. Although I hate their watch the season one thing and just the first episode, and if enough people like it, we'll make the series. I don't like that. It's because, I say that because they didn't make this one show that I really, really liked last time. I'm like, ugh. Do you think that YouTube needs to do that, make their own original content? Or do you think that the user-supplied content is really what YouTube should be?
I think it should definitely stick to user-supplied content. I think if they decide to go mainstream and start... Well, I mean, yeah, I think if they stop doing... user supply content and doing more pilot projects, I think it might take away from the whole atmosphere. And I think it'll be a different experience for everybody. And I'm not sure if it'll be a positive experience.
What do you think?
I was just saying, because we already have a Netflix, we already have an Amazon, we already have, in Canada, we have a bunch of other stations that are similar. So I don't know. I just don't think it would benefit YouTube as a whole experience.
What do you think of the new kids focused YouTube app that they just released for, I think iOS and Android.
Yeah, so it's for both iOS and Android. Unfortunately, we can't download it here in Canada yet. So, yeah, it's only US only. But I mean, I've obviously read up on about it, and I think it's fantastic. Like, I have two kids. My daughter, I'll sometimes see her going through YouTube, and then she'll accidentally click on something she shouldn't be watching, and obviously she doesn't know because she's only 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, maybe I should kind of take the phone away from her now. But I think the Kids YouTube app is great for that reason.
Well, with kids, you probably would appreciate... Android does have something that I wish Apple would embrace, and that's multi-user access on one mobile device, and Apple doesn't do that at all, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say stronger parental controls, because I don't know how they could make it really stronger, but just better, I think.
Yeah, like set up profiles kind of like Android has. I mean, you know, you can limit to exactly what apps they use and whether they can use the Play Store or for iPhone, obviously the App Store. I mean, I think that would be great. I have a feeling Apple will do it. I just think it hasn't. There's other things in their pipeline that they're focusing on right now prior to getting this out. But Apple will do it eventually.
I hope so, because all my old iPhones and iPads becomes basically the kids' stuff. as time goes on. I don't get rid of my old iOS devices. They're just glorified iPod touches. Although at this point, probably my 3G and my original iPhone, the kids never want to play with that because it doesn't run the newer games that they want to play.
Yeah, exactly. It's obviously a lot slower for them, so they probably get frustrated.
What do you do with your older tech? I mean, it's going to become a problem eventually if it hasn't already.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I still have my original first Android phone. I have a bunch of iPhones that I used to use an iPhone as well. I gave one iPhone 4 to my daughter, and then my wife accidentally stepped on it and broke it, so that one's gone off the shelf. So that's one tech gone that I don't have to worry about. But I just try to recycle it, whether I give it to a friend or maybe I'll, like, for instance, I took one of the old iPhones and I did a video about it. I said, why not use your iPhone as a baby monitor or a security camera?
Great idea.
So I did a how-to on it. So I'll try to think outside the box like that. But I try not to keep it. I want other people who need it to use it. And if it sits there for long enough, I'll donate it.
What kind of videos do you have in the pipeline coming up? Any cool products or how-tos? Can you give us a preview of what's coming?
Well, I try to mix it up between three different types of videos. I try to do reviews, how-tos, and top fives. Next up, it's going to be a top five. I'm not going to say what because it's got to leave some excitement. But I do have a couple of reviews in the pipeline. I think one of them is going to be really, really cool. And for how-tos, it's kind of like, oh, you know what? I don't really have a how-to set up right now, just because how-tos are more like, what's a problem that I can solve today? And if it comes to me, I'll just do it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really look for it. Or like if I help out, let's say, you know, a parent or someone else and they have an issue doing something, I'll be like, oh, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do this as well. You know, so that's how I usually come about doing how-to videos. But more recently, it's going to be a lot more reviews.
What do you do to get the word out about your channel other than doing OWC Radio this week?
Yeah. So, I mean, I use Facebook, Twitter, Google Communities. A lot of people think Google Plus is this thing where no one goes, but there actually is a pretty big community out there.
There's a big tech community.
Yeah, there's a big tech community. And I find it actually quite good to promote your stuff is on Google Plus. I thought it was fantastic. I use StumbleUpon, I use Tumblr, and I use Reddit, and I use LinkedIn. I use everything.
So. You use everything, try to get the word out.
Exactly.
And do you think it's working for you so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's working so far. I mean, I think YouTube search still is the number one way people find out about my videos.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole push out onto social media gives it a little bit of an initial kick. And then if the video is good enough or if they're, you know, they love it enough, they'll share it. And then, you know, hopefully it'll help push up my ranking in the YouTube search.
Last question before we get to the three random dreaded questions. You're a married man, you said. You've got kids. How does your wife feel about this? I mean, I know how my wife feels about it because I kind of do, you know, technology has been my thing for 20 years. In fact, I was doing my Mac before I even met her. So that's kind of a cheat because I was already doing it. Came with the package. But I got to assume that this didn't come with the package when you got married. This is kind of a new thing for you and her. How does she feel about it?
Well, I mean, she's always known I've been into tech. But yeah, like you said, I wasn't doing YouTube videos when we got married, nor was I writing about it or anything like that. But I mean, she's happy about it. She's the type of person that, you know, as long as I'm passionate about something and, you know, you're focused on it, she'll support it no matter what. You know, she's not into technology at all, but she listens to me. She tries to understand what I'm talking about, even though sometimes she has no idea what I'm talking about. and she definitely supports me. So yeah, she's totally for it.
Did she take the kids out of the house when you were going to record, or is she in the other room going, shh, 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 be quiet, well, Dad is recording.
That's the thing. My parents live by. So what I did was every time I need to record a video, I go to their house. I know, I'm a big cheater. I have the room set up, my basement, my old bedroom. So it's like going back home. And you know what? The best thing about it, it's like working at, okay, this is be a little weird, but it's like working at Google except without the pay. Because I come here, I get meals, you know, everything's done, but obviously there's no pay, but
I think it's a great idea. I used to have my own studio where I would leave the house to do stuff, but that was that involved money, of course, and
yeah, of
leases
course. You don't want to do
and
that.
All that. No, you've got the best of both worlds there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great. So it works out perfectly.
All right, Matt, are you ready for the three random questions?
All right, Tim, hit me with them.
If you became a multimillionaire overnight, what's the first three things you would buy?
Ooh, I would buy a Tesla for
Ooh,
sure.
Yeah? Which one, the sporty one or the family sedan?
It would have to be the actually I already have a family car, so it would definitely be the sporty one.
Yeah, have you driven one before?
No, I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, man. I tell you what, when you get in a Tesla and you actually drive it,
yeah,
it has so much more torque than you're expecting.
Really?
And you know, like in a regular car, you hit the gas and you go and you shift gears. There is no gears in a Tesla. It's just pure go.
Right. Yeah. No, I saw the videos. It looks insane.
Yeah,
right?
But it's different when you get one, man.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
I heard everyone who drives a Tesla is like, this is like the future of cars. Like,
it is.
This is you can't go back to your other car anymore.
Okay. So a Tesla is number one.
Okay. So multi-million. Are we sticking in straight to tech or are we?
No, whatever you want. It's
whatever
you know,
I want.
Sure. Cattle ranch if you wanted.
Cattle. Obviously, I'd buy a bigger house for sure.
Everyone, that's kind of the got to get a new high. Yeah.
Yeah, I get a new house. And the last one.
Now, would you build a studio in this big house?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It'd be soundproof, so there's no echoes. There would be, you know.
Green screened.
I had everything ready for what I needed it for. It'd be all teched up and everything. So, but yeah.
You'd have two guys that come over and help you do all the videos. They do the camera work and.
Exactly.
Multi-camera shots.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, that'd be my number two. And the third one, that's a good question. If I had multi-million, what would I buy for a third one?
I mean, it's easier to say something like, well, I put money back for their education. Well, of course, everyone, that's not buying something.
I'm not going to say the typical stuff that everybody say, like, you know, give money to your family, support your kids. I'm trying to make it more interesting for everybody as well. Like, I mean, obviously, that's the first thing I would do. I'd, you know, put money for my kids, buy them stuff, give some money to my family, you know, help people out, help any of my family members who are having trouble, stuff like that, obviously. But because this is tech-related show, I want to keep it a little bit more exciting. But for the third one, that's a good question. What would I buy for a third one?
While you think about it, let me tell you what one of mine would be.
Okay.
It would be to buy a big building and fill it with arcade machines and pinball machines that's set to free play that would very cheaply rent out for birthday parties and stuff for kids. But to be honest, it's mostly for myself so I can go and play any of these arcade games because I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. Just to go in there and be able to play Miss Pac-Man anytime I want, Burger Time, the kids could be playing stuff. That would be one of my things.
That's a fantastic one.
And I would rent it out. I mean, I wouldn't just let people rent it out for free because then they're, you know, you want to charge something so you keep, you know, the people that's going to take advantage of it too much away.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would make it affordable enough that almost any family could have a big gathering there and have fun.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're to make it free, a lot of people would kind of just be like, you know, come all the time and then kind of get sick of it after a while. I think when you charge a little bit, it keeps people interested.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So I think, you know what, for the third one, for the third item that I'd buy, you know what, I'd probably just do a new desk setup, with new computers, multiple monitors, the whole shebang. That's probably what I would do. Yeah.
Do you have one in mind or? Because you said you were kind of a build-it-yourself guy.
I mean, not right now specifically. Like right now I'm still using an old GTX 770 as a graphics card. And I just upgraded my processor. But in terms of the actual desk setup, no, I don't have anything in mind right now. The problem is once I start looking, then I just end up wanting everything. And then that can be very bad for my credit card. So sometimes I just don't look purposely.
All right. Question number two.
Okay.
This will be an easy one for you.
All right.
What was the name of your first pet?
Oh, that's an easy one. My first pet's name would be Willie. I mean, it's not my first pet. I was technically my brother's first dog, but it lived in our house with us.
Yeah, it was so I guess your dog too.
Yeah, but my first dog in my house, his name was Frankie.
Frankie? What kind of dog?
I don't know if you ever heard of this breed. It's called Basenji.
No, I haven't.
So they're actually a really cool breed. After the show, you should look it up. But they are this African dog. They have like this really curly tail, pointy ears. They kind of resemble like the pharaohs. They're kind of like on the pyramids as hieroglyphics. And they don't bark. They can't bark. Their vocal cords are completely different than regular dogs. And
they can't bark at all.
They can make noises, but they can't actually bark. And if they do make a barking type noise, it's more of a mimic of another dog barking. And the old African hunters used to put these like wooden bells around their neck so that they could actually hear them because they were so quiet.
How did you get that dog? Where did that come from?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm allergic to dogs, so I really love animals. Like, I love dogs especially. And you know, my wife and I got married. We're like, yeah, let's get a dog. You know, usually that's the first thing before the kids. Let's get a dog, right? So we're looking at breeds, and I'm like, oh, I don't want this. I don't want a little Shih Tzu. I want something, you know, a little bit cooler. You know, so we saw Basenjis, and we're like, yeah, they're not too bad with allergies and so on and so forth. And you know, we fell in love with the breed. And
you still have it?
No, we don't. It ended up biting my firstborn.
And oh, yeah. I can't have that. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I do miss him. And he's with a good family. So that's all that matters.
Well, that's good then. I mean, it's still a happy ending for the dog, but you can't have a pet that will bite your kids. It's just,
yeah, totally. Yeah. You can't trust them and you can't trust the pet anymore. That's the problem.
No. And for those who aren't parents, it might be hard to understand. Well, just punish the dog. He won't do it again. You can't trust it. I mean, nothing comes ahead of the kids. And if a dog does anything like that to your kids, the dog's got to go.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I know it sounds harsh, but that's so
good. Yeah, that's the way it is. Exactly. No, I agree with you 100%. And it wasn't like it was a big bite or anything. It was more of just like a little attention bite just to like get my daughter's attention because she was doing something else. But, you know, a bite's a bite and you have to be careful about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm 100% with you. All right, Matt, last one.
All right, bring it on.
This is a question for you and you have to answer it for your wife if she can do this as well.
Okay.
Can you touch your nose with your tongue?
Ooh, okay, let me try right now.
I knew you were going to do that.
Too bad there's no video.
That's what I was going to say. You can lie because we don't have any video evidence of it.
Okay, I'm trying right now. Hold on a second.
All right.
Yeah, no shot.
Nope, you can't do it?
No, I don't think my wife can too, but I am going to make her try it later on.
Yeah, see, now you're going to have to. You're going to be thinking about it. I can't do it either.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, Andrea, Tim from OWC needs to know this. Try to touch your tongue with your nose.
It's an important question.
Yeah, exactly.
And then text me on Twitter. Let me know.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Because now I have to know. talk about a random question, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good one, though.
Yeah, I think so. So your channel, what's the name of the channel?
So it's just my name. It's MATTHEW and my last name, which is Moniz. I am going to change the channel name as soon as Google allows me to do so. But for now, that's how you can find me, by searching me. And you can also visit my website, which is my name as well. Or you can find me on Twitter at Matt Moniz.
I'm going to have all of those links in the show notes for OWC Radio number 32. So awesome. If you're listening to this, go to blog.maxsales.com. Look for show number 32. And under links, I'll have going directly to his Facebook page, his website, the YouTube, the Twitter. It'll all be there so you can quickly find Matty Mo on all of those. I really enjoy your channel, Matt. I think that what you're doing looks like it's a lot of fun for you. Yes?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I love what I do.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you get more viewers because of your time here on OWC Radio. And I really want to thank you for being on today. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate you having me on the show. It was definitely a lot of fun.